Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Yud Beis. Rabbi Wechselbaum left off yesterday on Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis 12 lines from the end of the page at Rabbi Lazar Avakoyim Kamei Demar Shmuel. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas's mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Aleha Shalom, the Neshama Shevin Aliyah. It's also sponsored by Yonatan Godfrey in honor of all the soldiers in his unit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect all of them. And it is also sponsored by Fred Danishev. Azriel ben David Netanel, Alav Hashalom, whose yard site was Tuesday, the Neshama Shev Naliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are right in the middle of the sugya of Nat Bar Nat, one of the most important sugyas in Maseches Chulin and in the world of Yoredeya. So we're going to continue in that sugya of Nat Bar Nat, and then the Gemara is going to discuss when you cut a davar charif with a knife and what the impact on the tam transferring from the knife to the davar charif and vice versa. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, can you keep open salt or spices next to something milchig on the same table? Is that a cause for concern? Then the Gemara is going to talk about when meat falls into kutach. If you have a piece of meat that falls into a milchig food like kutach, so what's the impact on the meat if nothing was hot? It doesn't make a difference if the meat was raw, if the meat was roasted, if the meat was cracked, if the meat was spiced, and how all of that is going to make a difference. Then the Gemara is going to discuss meat juice. What if there's red juice that's coming out of the meat and it lands on a piece of bread, or it comes out with the fats of the meat and lands in a dish on the bottom? Is the meat juice dam, and is it therefore a problem, or is meat juice? It's not dam, it's just the juices that come from the meat. Then the Gemara on Amud Beis is going to talk about if one salts fish and meat together, do we have to be choshesh that there's going to be a kashrus concern when fish and meat are salted together with one another? And the Gemara is then going to talk about kosher and treif meat that is salted together, and that's good. That sugya is going to begin on today's daf and go well into tomorrow's daf. So let's begin. We're up to 12 lines from the end of the page on daf Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis. Rabbi Lazar Avakoyim Kamei Demar Shmuel. Just to refresh our memories, the basic sugya that we're discussing now is the sugya of Nat Bar Nat, which means that if you have dagim sha'alu b'ka'ara, you have a parah food. It's funny, the Gemara always gives the example of fish as a parah food, even though fish presents its own complexities based on sakana related issues, but fish just means a classic parah food that was roasted and you put it on a plate that was a fleshika plate that has a blios of a flesh in that plate. So Rav holds that parah food that was heated on a fleshika plate or in a fleshika pot, you're not allowed to eat with milchigs, even though it's parah food, but it has tam of basar in it, so you're not allowed to eat it with milchigs. And Shmuel holds you are allowed to eat it with milchigs. That was the machlokas Rav and Shmuel that we learned yesterday. So Rabbi Lazar, Avakoyim Kamei Demar Shmuel, Rabbi Lazar was in front of Shmuel, and he was being Meshamish at the Suuda. So Aisul Kamei, they brought in front of Shmuel, Dagim Shol Bekara, this very type of dish, a parah food that was cooked in a fleshiga pot. So we always use the example of pasta, even though the Gemara always uses the example of fish. So they brought him noodles that were cooked in a fleshiga pot, V'kachel, and Shmuel ate it, B'kutach, together with cheese. He was happy to put to have it together with his milchik food, and there was no problem for Shmuel, because Shmuel holds that Nat Bar Nat is mutter and that there's no problem whatsoever. So Yav Le, Shmuel gave Rabbi Lazar some of these fish together with kutach v'lo achal, but Rabbi Lazar would not eat it because Rabbi Lazar was a Talmud of Rav, and Rav holds that Nat Bar Nat is a problem, that you're not allowed to have a part of food that has blios of flesh from a flesh of a pot together with milchigs. So Amar Le, so Shmuel said to Rabbi Lazar, L'Rab Chayyav, you know, I gave a similar dish to your Rebbe, to Rav, and he ate it. I don't know what he told you in yeshiva, but I eat with him, and he ate it. So now you're not going to eat it? You're going to be firmer than your own Rebbe? So Asal Kameh to Rav. Next time Rabbi Lazar saw Rav, he was like, he was shattered. When he ate that, this was like the big sheet of Rav, about Nat Bar Nat. And now Shmuel's telling me that you ate it? So I'm like, Hadumei Mar Mishmaite, did you change your mind and forget to tell us that you changed your mind about one of the the most yisonistic sugyas in all of Shas that about not bar not? So Amalei, Rav responded to Rav Blazer, Chasle lizari da abba bar abba, that the lisvi lemidi velo svirili, that there's no way the son of such a chassid and a gadol like abba bar abba, meaning Shmuel, would ever feed me such a thing that I held is asa ba'achila. I didn't change my mind. He knows I didn't change my mind. Whatever he told you is not true. La hadam, it never happened. And he wouldn't have done it. There's no way he would have given me something that I would have held as treif. And he knows that I hold this treif. So there's no way he would have done it. So the Ritva raises a question. Yeah, then how come Shmuel said he did it? Meaning if he wouldn't have done it, why did Shmuel lie? Why did he say that he did it? So he says that Shmuel was exaggerating to Rabbi Lazar, and he was saying, how come you don't need it? Even if your Rebbe was here, I would have argued out the halacha with him to the extent that I would have convinced him that I'm right, and then he would have been forced to eat it because he would have seen my perspective and he would have had to admit. Meaning I'm so convinced of my argument that I think even if your Rebbe was here, who's so strong and learning, that I would have convinced him to change his mind. But he's not saying that he actually changed his mind. The Be'er Sheva also wonders, how could Shmuel say something that wasn't true? And not only say something wasn't true, he was trying to be machshil Rabbi Lazar to eat something that he thought was that Rabbi Lazar holds is not kosher. So it's not just that he was saying a falsehood, he was saying something that is going to lead Rabbi Lazar to eat something that he holds is not kosher. So he explains in the name of the Marashdam that Shmuel wasn't sure what Rabbi Lazar's hesitancy to eat this food was. There are two possibilities. Either, because Rabbi Lazar himself holds that not bar not is a problem, that he himself holds that it's asr and that the times. Or he himself doesn't hold that way, but mishum kvodo shel rav, out of the covenant of his rabbi, he wanted to hold that way. And l'may nafkamina, whether it's mishum kvodo shel rav or he holds that way. Well, Shmuel is also his Rebbe. So if it was Mishum Kvodo Shel Rav, then when you're in front of Shmuel, Mishum Kvodo Shel Shmuel, you should eat it. So that's why he was testing him. He said, you know, Rav would eat it. So now if he Rabbi Lazar himself, honest to goodness opinion, that he holds that it's Aser, it's not going to convince him the fact that Rav would eat it. That's not going to make him change his mind, because I hold that it's Aser. I don't care what Rav holds. I hold that it's Aser. So he wasn't going to eat it anyway. But if it was only Mishum Kvodo Shel Rav, by telling him that Rav would eat it, so then Rabbi Lazar himself is gonna come and eat it, which is the right thing to do, because now you're in front of Shmuel and you have to show covered for Shmuel. That's how the Marashtam understands. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that no, Shmuel actually said something that wasn't true by telling Rabbi Lazar that Rav ate it, but he did it because he was afraid of sakana, that Rabbi Lazar had smelled the tavshil that Shmuel was cooking, and if he doesn't eat it, it's gonna be sakana to him. So he thought that you're allowed to lie for the sake of sakana in order to save Rabbi Lazar's life, because it would have been dangerous for him. It's like when a pregnant woman smells something even on Yom Kippur and she has a craving. So the Gemara says if you can't tell her to calm down, which doesn't often work with a pregnant woman, so then she's allowed to eat it. Okay, so that's the story. Rav Huna Rav Chia Bar Ashi Avu Yasi Chad B'Hai Gisa D'Mabra B'Zura. Rav Huna and Rav Chia Bar Ashi, they were sitting. One of them was on one side of the bridge that you go through the river to Surah. V'chad b'haiki s'demabra, and the other one on the other side of the bridge. L'mar aitule, one of them was brought dagim shalu b'kara, a fish that was cooked in a fleshikapat. V'achal b'kutach, and he ate it with milichiks. L'mar aitule, teinim v'anavim. The other one was brought teinim and anavim, fruits, b'toch asuda, right in the middle of a meal. V'achal, and he ate it at that time. V'lo baruch, and he didn't say a bracha on the fruits that were served in the middle of a meal. So Mara Malei Lechavrei, one of them said to the other one, Yasma Avad Rabcha Hachi, you're a Yaso, meaning you don't have any das to do such a thing. Would your Rebbe have done such a thing? So Rashi writes that Yaso means not a Yasom of his parents, it means a Yasom of das, someone who lacks das. In Drash Chacham Sofer, he says that a Talmud that's not Omid al Das Rabbo is called a Yasom Bechaye Rabbo, that he's a Yasom of a Rebbe, even though his Rebbe is still alive. So that's what he's calling him. He's saying that you're a Yasum, even though you have a Rebbe, you don't know how to learn from your Rebbe. And therefore, you're Ki'ilu, you're a Yasum from a Rebbe. It's interesting that the idea that a Rebbe is considered like a father, is not only that a Rebbe is considered like a father, but that if a person doesn't have a Rebbe, he's considered a Yasum. That it's a relationship that just like a person doesn't have a parent is considered a Yasum, a person doesn't have a Rebbe is considered a Yasum to some degree. In the Chidushik Samsof, the Masif quotes here from the Chidushik Samsof at the end of Mesechus Ksubas, he has a very Tanya-like Mahalich of here, an understanding why he calls him a Yasum. He says that the right side of the brain of a person is the Mishkan HaChachma. That's where Chachma is. The left side of the brain is Bina. And the Tziruf of the right and the left side of the brain creates Das. So that's the Chabad. The Chachma, the Bina, and the Das. So the Das that appears in a person's heart, a person's mind, and since that's the case, the two sides of the Moach are considered the Av and the Aim. So the Das is the Ben of the Av and the Aim. The Das is the offspring of the Av and Aim. And therefore, someone who's lacking Das shows that he's lacking Chachma and Bina, because the Chachma and the Bina give birth to the Das, so to whatever you're missing in Das, you're probably missing in the Chachma and the Bina. So mainly he's missing the Av and Aim, and he's called the Yasum when he lacks Das. So anyway, he says, you're a Yasum, would your Rebbe do such a thing? Umar Amar Leil Chavri, and the other one said right back to him, Yasma Avad Rabcha, you're a Yasum, would your Rebbe do such a thing? So Umar Amar Leil Chavri, the one that was eating the Dagim Shalu Bekara, the Nat Parnat, said, Anak Shmuel Sfirli, well, I hold that Nat Parnat is mutter, that if you have a pasta that was cooked in a fleshy kapat, that you're allowed to eat it with cheese. Umar Amar Leil Chavri, and the one that ate the Tein Va'anavim in the middle of a meal without saying a bracha, justified his behavior by saying, Anak Rabbi Chia Svirili. I hold like Rabbi Chia. Ditani Rabbi Chia, pas poteres kol mine machel, that when you eat bread, it potters all other food that you can eat during that meal from a bracha, both bracha rishona and bracha achrona, and yain poter kol mine mashkin, and when you drink wine, that potters any other beverages that you're going to have from a bracha. So in the Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak, he was asked about the minhag that you have, and a lot of times when there are smachos on Shabbos, that one guy says Kiddush, and a lot of people are yotzei with that Kiddush, and they take a mashu of the yayin, and then they drink shar mashkim without a bracha on the smach, that the yayin paters kol mine mashkim. So do they have what to be somichan, or is it better for them not to be towing from the yayin shal Kiddush at all, because the ti'ima is not ma'akev, and then they'll be able to, on their own, say a bracha on all the shar mashkim that are served during the meal. So he quotes from the Derech HaChayim that if a person is Mekadesh al Yayin and he doesn't taste from the wine, the other Mesubin tastes from it, then he's still going to need to say a bracha on the Shar Mashkim, even though all those Shar Mashkim were there in front of him when he said the bracha on the Yayin. Because the reason that Yayin patters all the other Mashkim is because all the other Mashkim are considered to be Tafel to the Yayin. But when you don't drink, then you can't say that it's Tafel to the Yayin. So he's going to have to make a new bracha on any Yayin that comes during the meal, and he's going to have to make a bracha on Shar Mashkim if he doesn't have Yayin during the meal. So it seems that if a person, we always assume that once you hear Kiddush, so then you're good, then you're not going to have to say any brachas on any beverages. That's only true if you made a bracha on the Yayin and you actually utilized that bracha on the Yayin. But if a person didn't take anything to drink from the Kiddush wine, so then nothing is going to potter him from all the from the brachas on the Shar Mashkim that he has during the meal. But anyway, that's what he was explaining, that all the food that I have during the meal is already covered by the bread I ate at the beginning. Okay, so that was the end of that story. Amar Chizkiya Mishum Abaye. So Chizkiya says the name of Abaye. As far as Nat Bar Nat is concerned, Hilchasa Dagim Shalu Bekara Mutar Lachem Bekutach, that if you have fish that was cooked in a fleshika pot, you're allowed to eat it, or is put hot on a fleshika plate, you're allowed to eat it together with a milchik dish, like Shmuel says, because it's only a Nat Bar Nat, and Nat Bar Nat is going to be mutter. Now all the poskim point out that Nat Bar Nat, that's mutter, is only when it's dagim shalu b'kara shel basar, that when the tam of the basar goes from the kara to the dagim, there is no iser yet, because it's all dagim is pariv and fleshig is fleshig, but it's kosher, so there is no iser yet. So now that you're mixing it with the kutach, so it's the tam of the basar that's already been weakened by being a Nat Bar Nat tam, by being a secondary taste, taste that's now trying to combine with the milchigs. So a tam kolush is not going to generate a new iser. But if when the tam sheni went into the food, it was already an iser. Like it was not dagim shalah bekara that you cooked basar, but dagim shalah bekara that you cooked treifa food. So it was treif meat that was nosing tam into the pot, and now you're cooking your fish or your pasta in a treifa pot. Then the iser does not get weakened, or the weakened tam of the iser does not take away the iser status of it, and it's going to be aser. This is what we refer to as not barnat to isura, that the whole discussion of not barnat is when it's not barnat to hetera, that it was something kosher that gave tam into the food, into the pot, and then the pot into the food, and it's still all heter, and only at that stage is some potential of iser introduced. But if it was already aser from the tam rishon, and no matter how many times it weakens, it's still going to be a problematic tam, because not barnati isura is going to be a problem. The prima gadim in Yoridei and Simon Sadieh is mesupak whether not barnati isura is an iser d'oraisa or an iser d'rabanan, and he's mitzadeh that it's really an iser d'oraisa, that if yol tam kikar is d'oraisa, not barnat is also d'oraisa when it's not barnat di isura. Now the smack points out from the lashon that we have of dagim sha'olu b'ka'ara, so it sounds like that this heter is only b'di'evet, that if the dagim went, meaning we paskin and naparnat is mutter, but that's only b'di'evet, it was olu b'ka'ara, but not that if you want to have noodles and cheese for dinner, that you should dafka cook the noodles in a fleishig pot with the plan of mixing it with cheese. You're not supposed to do that. That's l'chadchila. If you want to eat the dagim with the kutach, you're not supposed to cook the dagim in a fleishig pot. The Ramah is even more machmir than that. The Ramah in Simon Sadihei writes that dagim that was already cooked in a fleisha kapat, you're not allowed to lichadchila now mix with cheese. Meaning, let's say you cooked the noodles in a fleisha kapat and you were planning on having meatballs and spaghetti. You were not planning on having it noodles and cheese. You were not going to mix it with cheese. But yeah, you had some extra noodles left over. So now you want to mix those noodles with cheese. Ramah says, you can't even do that. This is all assuming, by the way, that it's that there was meat cooked in that pot on that same day. If it was in a ben yomos, so then it's a whole different story. So that's the halacha. That the halacha is that not barnat is mutter, but really it's only mutter b'diavet. It's not mutter l'charchila. And the other halacha, it's known shechatachu b'sakin shechatach b'basar. If you have a radish that was cut with a knife that was previously used for fleishig, asur l'achlo b'kutach. You're not allowed to eat that radish with milchig food. And Rashi says two reasons, because sometimes the knife that you cut meat with is not fully cleaned, and so there's a shamnunis of basar on the edge of the knife, and that gets absorbed into the radish itself. So that's tam rishon. It's not naparnat. It's the tam rishon of the basar that's getting actually absorbed. And furthermore, the charifus of the radish causes it to be balea, even the blios in the knife, even that which is a flavor that's absorbed in the knife, even if there's no mamashus on the edge of the knife, and it's bolea even more than the hot fish that goes in a fleishka pot or on a fleishka plate. And the pressure of the knife together with the charifus of the tznon causes the tam to come out from the knife and to be absorbed into the tznon, into the radish. But vahani mili, that's only true that tznon da'agav chorfei bala. That's only true by a radish, which is a davar charif, which is a very sharp food, and therefore it's bolea the tam of the basar. Aval kishus, but if it were something that was more sweet, that is not, does not have that same sharpness, so then we don't assume that it's bolea the tam of the basar. You still have to be choshish for the shamnunis of the basar that's on the edge of the knife, because that's be'en, that you have to be worried about. So what do? Gar lebe paske va'achil. You just scrape off a little bit of the surface where the where that shamnunis would have gotten onto the vegetable, and then you could eat the rest of the vegetable. We do not assume, with cheese, we do not assume that there is any actual blia that transferred. It's only the shamnunis that you have to worry about. Now Tosas writes that when we say that hani mili, it's known that this is only true when it comes to radishes. Tosas says not only radishes. It means anything that's a davar charif, and there are other things that are a davar charif. Onions are a davar charif, and other types of vegetables are a davar charif, and that's what the Rambam writes as well. However, the smack in Siman Reish Yud Gimel quotes Rabbeinu Yechiel that ein lecha ela masha amru. Chachamim. The Chachamim said Tznon, and that's it. That's the only Davar Charif. Everything else is not a Davar Charif. Now Tosfos is not sure. What about the following case? What if the knife was cleaned off and it's not a Ben Yoma from Blias Basar? I mean, you haven't used that knife on hot meat in the last 24 hours, and there was no Shamnunus on the edge. You scraped it off really well. You scrubbed it with steel wool or whatever. You made sure you stuck it in Karka Kasha Nitsa Bakarka 10 times. Whatever you do to remove Shamnunus, so there's no Shamnunus on the knife, do we assume that the Davar Charif is still going to become Fleshix? If the knife itself hadn't been used for Fleshix in the last 24 hours, do we assume that it's an Eina Ben Yoma and therefore it's a Tam Pogum and it doesn't Aser? Or do we assume that a Davar Charif has the capacity to reawaken a Tam Pogum? That Davar Charif not only allows for Blios to transfer without heat, which is Chiddush number one of what a Davar Charif can do, that even without heat, the Blia can transfer from one thing to the other, but Davar Charif can reawaken Tam that otherwise would have been Tam Pogum, old Tam in a knife. So that's a discussion of the Rishonim, and we are machmir about that. There's another machlokas in the Rishonim, how far the Tam goes, meaning if I were to take fleshig of food, I would take a piece of meat and cook it with a potato, so I know the Tam is throughout the entire potato. It penetrates the entire potato. But when I take a fleshka knife, a clean fleshka knife, and I cut a radish with it, how far into the radish? I cut an onion with it. How far into the onion does that tam go? So this is a three-way machlokas rishonim. The Ravid holds that it's ad kedei netila, that the shear of netila is makom, which is the thickness of your thumb. The Rashba holds that it's bolea kulo, that the knife causes the davar charif with the ducha de sakina, causes the tam to penetrate the entire vegetable that you're cutting, the entire davar charif that you're cutting, and the Rosh holds that it's only a kidei klipa. This makes a big nafkamina when you chop the onion, or you cut the onion in half, and then you threw it in a pot with something, so and then you realize, I used the milchig knife to cut the onion, now I just put it in my chalent. So now you got to figure out shishim. So shishim connected what? Shishim can I get the kedei netila? Shishim can I get the entire onion? Shishim, well, really, you can't have more than the tam that was in the knife in the first place. So you really only need to measure shishim can I get the blade of the knife, because that's it can't give more tam than it ever actually had. So this could happen nafkamina if it was a very large knife and a small onion. So how far do you assume the blia went? Okay, so that's the concept of a davar charif. Now, if you cut kilcha delifta, the stalks of a lethes, so then shari, that's mutter to eat with kutach because it's not a davar charif. It's considered a sweet vegetable, and therefore it's not going to have this kumra of davar charif. To silka, but if you cut with the knife stalks of a silka, then asiri, then they're going to be asir, because it has a din, like a radish, since the shamnunis will give tam. So you patach bu delifta, and if you mix the cutting, you cut the lefes, and you cut a silka, and you keep switching back and forth between a davar charif and a davar matok, between something that's not charif and something that is charif, then shapir dami, then it's fine. Then you're allowed to eat, that with the vegetables that you cut with a milchik dish, because we assume that the sweetness of the sweet vegetable was mevatel the tam of the shamnunis from the knife, and it's not going to be nosin tam into the charif vegetable anymore. So it's not poleya anything. So it says Gemara Baymine Rav Dimi Rav Nachman Mal Anuchi Kadad Milcha Gabi Kadad Dekamcha. So are you allowed to put an open dish of salt right next to kutach, right next to an open container of kutach, which is a milchig food? Are we choshish that maybe some of that kutach went into the salt and you didn't notice it, and now you're going to use that salt with meat, and so you're going to be taking milchig salt and using it together with meat? They used to not have salt shakers, they had salt dishes. So it was open salt. It wasn't like in this kli that was mostly covered with just teeny tiny holes. So it was very possible that some of the milchik food landed in the salt. So Rav Nachman responded to Rav Dimi, Asr, you have to be choshish that maybe some of the kutach fell into the salt, and therefore it's going to be a problem, and you might unwittingly use that salt with meat. So don't do it. Don't do it in the first place. Don't take that risk. In the Yisuf HaHatter, he writes that we're talking about that they're both open. The kutach is open and the salt is open, and therefore, since they're both wide open at the top, we're choshish that a little bit fell in. So then he asked him, the chalamai, what would be the din about leaving vinegar that was, or a dressing or something next to the kutach? Are we choshish that some of the kutach is going to fall into the dressing? So Amalei Shari said, no, that's mutter, that you don't have to worry about. Maishno, well, why should it be any different? Meaning we have dressing with fleishika foods just like we have salt with fleishika foods. So why am I worried about the salt having some milchig in it and then mixing with fleishika? And I'm not worried about the vinegar. So he said, l'chitech l'ala kor de milcha. When you go and do a service for me, I'll give you the answer. You go measure for me a quart of melech, which is apparently a lot. So I'll then answer you. So my time, well, what taka is the chilik? Hai isa isur beinai. When it comes to salt, if a little bit of kutach falls into the salt, the isur remains be'en because it's the kutach has a different consistency than the salt, and it will be recognizable in the salt. It does not immediately become batel. Vahai leisa isur beinai. But when it comes to vinegar, even if kutach were to fall into the vinegar, it doesn't remain be'en. It gets totally mixed in with the vinegar. It's not nicker. You can't taste it in the vinegar, and therefore it becomes batel immediately upon mixing in the vinegar. So you don't have to worry that you're going to come to mix it with meat, because it's already batel by the time you mix it with meat. So Tosfos points out, even though the Gemara asks putting salt next to kutach, and the Gemara is not even sure about chometz next to kutach, but if you have a jug of milk, that's for sure mutter to put next to actual meat. And we're not choshish that one's going to fall into the other. So Tosa, you would think that that's much worse, meaning this is a parv of food with a milchig food. And I'm worried that the milchig is going to end up in the parv, and then I'm going to use the parv with the fleshig, right? And that I do have to be choshish for. But Tosa says, actual milk next to actual meat, don't worry about. Why don't worry about? Because you know to worry about it, meaning it's right in front of you that there's milk and meat, so you're going to know to be careful. But when you have salt and kutach next to each other, you're not going to be so careful. You're going to be more sloppy, and therefore it's likely that some of the kutach is going to end up in the salt. So that's what Tos says, that it's dafka because it's not a milchik food next to a fleshka food. Hu bar goza, there was a story where there was a bird. Bird meat that fell into a jug of kutach, which is milchig. But it was cold meat, and it wasn't cooked, it wasn't roasted. So the shaila was, do we have to be choshish that that basr, can you just rinse it off? Or do we have to be choshish that that basr was boleya from the kutach? So shayir of chinin abrei derava mi pashronya, that the Rav Chinin abrei derava mi pashronya said, it's fine, just rinse it off and eat it. The meat is perfectly kosher, even though it landed in a milchik dish, it landed in kutach, it landed in milchik food. So Amar Rava, so Rav said, man chakam l'mishri ki agavna, who is such a chakam that could be matir such a thing? Ilav Rav Chinin abrei derava mi pashronya, if not for Rav Chinin abrei derava mi pashronya, kasavar, because he holds ki amar shmuel maliach. When the Shmuel say that something that's salted, it's as if it's cooked together, and kutach is a salty food, and therefore you would think that it's ki'ilu, this meat was cooked together with the milk. But when do we say that meliach is koroteach? Hani meliach aden nechem machmas molcho. That's only if it's so salty that it's inedible as a result of its saltiness. So, and Rashi says, like when you want to preserve meat, you want to make beef jerky or something, you want to preserve meat, so you put it in that amount of salt that would preserve it. That's how Rashi says. But kutach, as salty as it is, it doesn't rise to the level of saltiness that you need in order to say meliach hareyu krotech. So that's how Rashi defines that level of saltiness, is the amount of saltiness that it would have in order to preserve something. Tosfos quotes a Rabbeinu Yaakov Yisrael, one of the rare Rishonim that had two names. Rishonim typically only had one name. It was later in history that we started introducing two names, and even later that we started introducing three names, you know, but most people only had one name. But one of the Rishon Rabbi, and usually in the early generations when they started with the two names were related to one another. So Yaakov and Yisrael were the same person in the Bible, right? So they're related to one another. But anyway, he quotes Rabbeinu Yaakov Yisrael that even Melicha like that is not considered Einu Nachos Malcho unless it's a Melicha that you do for Ibud, for tanning hides. That's a Melicha that they would salt it in order to preserve it when they would travel long distances. Only that is Einu Nachos Malcho. So it's a big Machlokas in the Rishonim. What exactly Einu Nachos Malcho means? Rabbeinu Tam writes that even Melichas Basal Kedera is considered Einu Nachos Malcho. That even the amount that you would salt meat normally just to draw out the dam, the halachic requirement of malicha, that's also called Einu Nachos Malchus Malchus, because you would never eat it while the salt is still on it. After we do that salting, we then rinse it. You rinse the salt off in order to make it mutter to eat. The Rabbi disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam because the Gemara should have said Einu Nachal Im Malcho, that it's not eaten with its salt, but if you rinse it off and then it becomes totally fine, that's not Machmas Malcho, that's Im Malcho. But anyway, so that's the chilik that he made, that even though this piece of meat fell into kutach, and even though kutach is salty, it's not salty enough to cause a problem for the meat. So says Gemara, v'hani mili chai, but that's only if the meat was not cooked or roasted. Avol tzli, but if the meat was roasted, bay klipa, then it's at least balea kedei klipa, you need to peel off the outer surface of the meat, because the milk would have penetrated that much at least. And if the meat has cracks in it, then kuli asr, then the entire piece of meat is asr, because then we assume that the milk has penetrated through those cracks to the entire piece of meat. The metabel betavlin, and if the meat was spiced, so the whole piece of flesh has been softened by the spicing, then kuli asr, then likewise the whole thing is going to be asr. Okay, amram nachem ramer shmuel, kikar shechatech alea basar. If you have a loaf of bread that after you roasted the meat, you cut the meat over this loaf of bread, you're not allowed to eat that loaf of bread because the dam from the meat gets absorbed into the bread. Now the meat itself, Tosfos Rashi explains, would be mutter even though the dam lechora comes from inside of that meat, and would be because it's considered to be dam hevarim that was not poresh. So dam hevarim that was not poresh, it remains where it started. That's fine. But once it comes out of the meat into the bread, now it's going to be aser. V'ani mili da'asmik, but that's only if it was red. V'ani mili da'avre. And it's also only when it goes through and through the entire loaf of bread from one end to the other that it's going to be problematic. And that's also only if it's a very thick, bloody substance. But if it's very liquidy, less than, but then we're not worried about it. It's not really considered to be dam. Tosa Rush is bothered. Why, if it doesn't go through, it doesn't penetrate from one side to the other, is it not going to be a problem? Meaning if there's dam on one side of the bread, so that side of the bread should be aser. Why does it have to penetrate the entire thing? So he quotes the Ravid, who says that the whole issue of here is not, it's not really dam over here. It's maris ha'ayin, that it looks like you're eating dam. And if it doesn't fully penetrate the bread, then it doesn't look like real dam. Okay, Shmuel shadi le'lekal. Be Shmuel, when he had a piece of bread that meat was cut on and the meat juices penetrated the whole bread, he would just throw it to the dog. He wouldn't eat it. Rav Huna yavle l'shamei. Rav Huna would give it to the shamish, the Jewish waiter who was serving him at the meal. So it says, whoa, wait a second. Manavshach, ishari, if you hold that as mutter, lukulei almashari, then it should be mutter for you to eat also. Why are you giving it up at all? And he asr, and if you hold that it's asr, lukulei almasr, then you can't go giving it to the Jewish waiter who's serving you. So it says, no, he held it was mutter. But shayin rafuna danina date, he was just a picky eater. He was, it would gross him out a little bit to eat such bread. But the waiter was not as particular about what he would eat, so he gave it to the waiter. Rava achale v'kari lechamer basa. Rava would eat it, and he would say, "This isn't blood. This is meat wine. It's meat juice, right? It's the wine that comes from the meat. So it looks like wine. It looks like a fine red wine that comes out of the meat, and that's what it is. It's meat juice. It's not blood." Amar of Nachman Shmuel, ein manichin kli tachas basar, that you don't put a kli underneath meat at the time that you're roasting the meat to catch all the fats that are flowing from the meat when it's roasting, until all the redness that's in those fats is totally. totally gone, and it's just clear or white fats that are dripping. If there's any redness in it, then it's a problem. It's going to trafe up all the shamnunas that you're trying to catch. So minoya dinan, how do you know that all the dam is gone? So marzut from shmei drav papa amar mishatala timraso, from when the meat starts to smoke, then you know that that the dam is all finished already. That's one interpretation of Rashi. Then Rashi quotes from his Rebbeim that it means that the coals on the bottom are mala ashan. That as long as dam is still coming down into them, they're not going to smoke. They're not going to shoot smoke upwards. But once the dam is finished, then the coals on the bottom will start to smoke. So maska for Ravashi. Ravashi asks on Rapapa, vidil matata amata ila alomata. Maybe at the time that the meat is smoking, so you think, oh, all the dam is gone. Maybe the bottom part that's close to the gechalim is already at the point where there's no more admumis, where there's no more blood in there. But the top part is not mala ashen yet. But you're going to see smoke coming out of this, and you're going to say, oh, okay, now all the dam is gone. But maybe some of the meat, the dam is not gone, and that dam is going to still be dripping down into the kli. Ela amravashi lesle takanta. There's nothing you could do to you can't put a kli underneath at the time that it's roasting. The only thing you could do is you could throw two pieces of salt, two clusters of salt, one on the meat and the other one in the kli that's underneath the meat. And the nature of salt is that it will draw out any dam, and therefore the shuman that you're left with on the bottom is going to be clean of any dam because you did this trick of putting salt there that would have drawn out all of the dam. The Rishonim, Tosfos, and others are bothered by the kasha that, wait a second, if dam was dripping into that fat, so the dam should have trafed up that fat. So now you're going to draw out that dam. Yeah, but the shuman already was nivla from dam. It already had blios of the dam in it, so shouldn't the whole thing be aser? So Tosfos says that since the dam is poresh entirely from the shuman, the shuman becomes mutter according to everyone. That even if you hold efshal l'sochto aser, that's because we assume that when you're matir it, you're not able to really get it all out. But in this case, they knew that salt is able to get all of the dam out. And once you're able to get all of the dam out, then it's not going to be a problem. So that's the way to fix it. And then after you finish roasting it, you just pour out, meaning the dam had been absorbed by the salt, and the fat is on the surface. So you pour out slowly the fat that's on the surface that's not considered to be mixed with the dam, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Wait a second, does Shmuel say that we're not worried about the dam that's flowing down, that we're only worried about it until the marad mumis is gone? But once the marad mumis is gone, then it's all fine. Shmuel said, even if you have a fully roasted piece of meat, way past the time that the admumis is gone, and you cut it over a loaf of bread, the bread is usser. So how can you tell me that Shmuel says that that while it's roasting, in middle of the roasting, at some point, it all becomes mutter? Because in the middle of the roasting, as soon as it's malashon, you assume all the admumis is gone. Even when it's fully roasted, he had a problem with it. He said that if you cut it over a piece of bread, the whole bread is going to be aser. Says Murno, shiny awesome, dakav duche de sakina palit. No, that's the meat would have been mutter to eat if you didn't cut it over a piece of bread, because it was ready, the anmumis is gone. But over here, the duche de sakina is pushing out any of that dam that's still inside of it onto that bread, and that is going to trafe up the bread. So it turns out the maskana that the din of a kikar that you cut a basar on is more chamur than the din of a tzli that's called a marad mumis, that of the meat itself when the marad mumis is gone. Because by the kikar, the pressure of the knife is what generates the iser. Amar of Nachman, dagma ofos shemolchan zeim zeh. If you have fish and meat, ofos the Rashi points out kol shkein basar, right? Meaning even basar of, but even if it's beef for sure, that you have fish and meat that are salted with one another in the same kli in order to draw the dam out asurin. So the fish is going to be asur b'achila because we assume the dam was drawn out of the meat and is now absorbed into the fish. What exactly is the case? If you're salting it together in a kli that doesn't have holes in it, then even if it's two types of birds, it's going to be aser, because the dam is going to come out of one and get absorbed into the other. And if it has holes on the bottom, so all the blood is going to drain, then it should all be mutter, because all the blood should have totally drained out. So says Mar Liolam b'kli menukav. We're talking about a kli that did have holes in it. Doesn't all the blood drain out? V'dag mishum derafu karmayu kadmiu palti. Fish, because it has a thinner skin, it's polite, it's dam very quickly. V'ofos kamiti, and the ofos which have a rougher skin, basa denaychi dagim. Once the fish are finished being polite, plate ofos, the bird, the chicken or the meat is still being polite. It's still expressing that dam, expelling that dam, but the fish has already finished expelling, and therefore it's now a makabel. It's now receiving v'hadrabali minei. So it will be balea, that dam that's coming out of the ofos, and that's the case where it's going to be aser, because the timing is off. That after the fish finishes expressing, it's now going to be able to absorb, and it's that absorption that's going to be a problem. Now Tosa, that's how Rashi explains. Tosa says, well, then even if you have two pieces of meat and you just time it differently, you don't put them together, you know, you start salting one of them, wait 10 minutes, and then start salting the other, then put the other one in, so that should be the same problem. So Tosa has an entirely different interpretation of this Gemara. Okay, Baruch Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up four lines on the bottom, Rav Mari Bar Rachel. Everyone have a great day.